You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It would be a waltz, but eh?
On goes Paul. People might yet win it here for Wolves. Blast in the shot. What a goal!
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to your latest Wolves Fancast match reaction show. I'm your host, Little Dan, taking the hot seat away from Rich this week. On tonight's show, where we'll be discussing yesterday's 2-1 win over Fulham, I've got with me Stu, Ed and Pricey. Like I just mentioned, Wolves picked up three massive points in our race for the European spots yesterday. Take a quick look at the stats on the screen. 2-1. Expected goals, Wolves 0.48 to Fulham's 2. Fulham had twice as many touches in our box compared to what Wolves did. Fulham's percentage 51 to our 48. Guys, it was a huge win yesterday. I'm still really, really proud of the boys on the back of the amount of players that we're having dropped down like flies at the moment. But Stuart, I'll come to you first. Before kickoff, I'm talking sort of half one, quarter two-ish. The lineups haven't come out. And you see that Pedro Neto's in the starting lineup. What's your first feelings on that?
That's a ridiculous thing to do. Like I said in the week, if he's not 95%, do not play them. That goes for any of them. I would have forfeit this game 100% before it happened. So to see him lined up, I thought, well, it's just a recipe for disaster. There was other things going on there in that lineup itself, as I put on Twitter /X, about playing a back four and was kind of proved right yet again. But yeah, it just seemed unnecessary. And I know we've got hardly any players left, but taping someone together when they have notorious issues with hamstrings just seemed a bit Dr. Death again.
What was your feelings, Price? I'm just going to give you mine for a quick second. Stu sort of alluded to there. If the club in the week building up to the game have done all the scans, he's feeling fine. He had to start for me yesterday because I still think European places are as plausible, if not more plausible, than Wolves winning the FA Cup.
Yeah, I'm with you, Dan, to be honest. I mean, we weren't to know what was going on during the week. With him, obviously, O'Neill said at the end of the match, they're like well within the rights to start him. Scans were okay. He felt good. He felt fine. He was a precautionary sub, wasn't he? I think against Newcastle. But I suppose we have been here with Hwang. You know, when we were watching him play against was it Brighton or someone where he looks just like completely unfit. He looked shocking. So clearly he wasn't ready to play. They didn't really have that feeling about Neto. So, and it was his other hamstring that went, wasn't it? So it's not like they knew that the bad hamstring was taped up and was hanging by a thread, so to speak. And they didn't. And they still said, "Go on, we've literally got no one else. You've got to play." That all came back fine, and it was the other one now, which obviously is Sod's Law. But I was happy to see him start with the trust in the club that he was match fit and ready to go. And we didn't have like a Hwang type situation. But and we'll get on to what happened. But happy to see him start. And let's be honest, who else at that point in time? Who else have we got? Who else have we got to play?
I did make a joke during the game yesterday that, you know, even Razak Bakari must be close to fitness the way we're doing at the moment. Ed, like I've already asked these guys, you saw the lineup on Saturday, change of formation, like a sort of 4-2-3-1. What was your thoughts on that?
The same thing I always have with a back four. We haven't been set up for a back four since before Nuno. So it was always going to be a bit of a gamble, I thought. And we can't go full Doc Brown and get in the DeLorean and go back and wrap Pedro Neto up in cotton wool. But he's been our outstanding attacker. And you can only go with what the medical team tell you. And we had the owl himself, didn't we, a few weeks ago, put Michael Olise out for many, many weeks for Crystal Palace, didn't we, by him saying the medical team said he was clear to play. But I wasn't sure about the back four, and we obviously didn't stick to a back four for very long, did we? So, I still don't think we have the players yet for a back four. And I also I'm still banging the drum that a back five, back three doesn't necessarily mean we play bad football either.
I mean, I know the competition level is a bit, there's a bit of a gulf with it. But have we had a more reliable? Have we had a reliable back four since Foley, Berra, Craddock, and who was our last back four that was reliable? Pricey. Thompson, Curl, Shirtliff, Thompson.
Not one that had Darren Peacock in. That's for sure.
Let's got Butler, Irwin, and Naylor, right?
That's what I mean. I'm with you, Ed. A back four just not give me any confidence. You saw the way that we played in that first half. They cut us open at will in that first half. But we'll touch on that a bit further. Stu, I've mentioned him off camera. The Technol or Trees or Tiger, whichever way you bat. What was your thoughts when you saw him in the starting lineup?
Good. I mean, there's enough players out to warrant him starting. And I know there was kind of talk of the whole playing Doherty up front thing, which is, it's going to happen eventually, and I can't wait for it to happen. But give the kid a chance. It's not, obviously people think, oh yeah, it's like Fabio again, but he's got more about him now than Fabio did when he was thrown in when Raul's head fell apart. You got to back the kid in. It's not putting pressure on him because he came off and he was absolutely knackered. He ran himself into the ground. And I thought he actually did really well yesterday. I thought he was, for what was asked of him, he didn't have that much service from a poaching point of view. But I thought he led the line well. He pulled players out of position when he needed to. And I have more than enough confidence in him going forward. And I thought, well, okay, I'd rather him play in this game than next week. However backwards that seems, considering the level of opposition. But I didn't think he looked out of place.
No, I agree. I think he's earned that start. I think he done really well in that FA Cup tie at home to Brentford. Took his goal really well. Was unlucky not to get his second moments after. Thought he did okay in the second half against Newcastle, but there wasn't really anyone who came out with a great deal of credit in that performance, was there, Ed?
No. I think, just to pick up on Stu's comment, I think what we do have with Fraser is, compared to when Fabio was dropped into the team, is he has that physicality already, doesn't he? He seems a bit more grown, a bit more muscular and a bit more ready for the rough and tumble of the Premier League, and he doesn't seem as lightweight. And I think we saw that yesterday. He wasn't afraid to not just run the channels, but, you know, to put his body where it needed to be, try and hold the ball up. I think it was a good first Premier League start from a lad that, what, 3 or 4 months ago probably thought he was never going to be anywhere near the team.
Yeah, I'm excited for him. I'm not saying he's going to go on to be like the next Steve Bull or anything daft like that. If he's the next Adam Predlock and he gets, you know, 10 or 15 goals for Wolves, I think we'll take it at the moment because we are still missing that number 9, are we? Thanks for everyone who's joining the Wolves Fancast tonight. Nearly 200 of you online with us. So just quickly drop the like button if you can. Just try and share the channel so more people are aware of us. Keep commenting. Raymond in the comments section, don't forget the back four with Neves and Johnny in.
I mean, we have to forget that.
It's the back fours that we've had to endure over the years. Casper Gorks, and I think it was centre over Casper Gorks, Drew.
Oh, I remember thinking when Casper's Gorks,
Roger Johnson had been his partner then.
That would have been Saunders there, wouldn't it? I think,
yeah, I think he's got every chance of being
gone,
yeah.
He probably don't remember himself, does he, Johnson? That's the problem.
No. It was the anniversary of when he turned up drunk to training the other day. I'm an old Facebook memory. Dan Lambs commented saying the medical team showed Gary O'Neill's the scans and cleared him. His new injury is just a new injury. But then Jonathan Belt has replied, the scans must be pure rubbish. There is questions over the injury diagnosis that the club have been revealing. Gary O'Neill keeps on telling me like players are going to be coming back in a couple of weeks. Then we end up finding out them like 6 to 8 weeks. It's massively frustrating. Hopefully we can get on top of this in the summer because Gary's doing an exceptional job, guys. And the way that we managed to get the 3 points yesterday was huge. You look at our shot summary. We didn't cause Fulham a great deal of pressure, but I think the chances that we created over the 90 minutes were pretty decent. I think Pedro Neto's shot in the first quarter of an hour was pretty woeful. That sort of summed up his day, really, wasn't it? Ryan Aitken-Norby scored in the 52nd minute. Pablo Sarabia free kick, pricey on the money, finds Totti at the back post. Lovely pullback, and Aitken-Norby on his right foot wallops it home. Nice moment for the kid.
I mean, where do we start? Where do we start with Aitken-Norby? There's going to be like every superlative in the dictionary, like queuing up for him at the minute. He's just one of the along with like Gomez, the star boys, the team, and I'm not discounting Lamina from that because he's the established player. But we're just seeing with Aitken-Norby, we're just seeing the best of him. He's playing like the best football of his career right now, and I saw this on the Twitter / X would have been last night, that if Senor Lopetegui was still here, we'd be having Aaron Cresswell a left back instead, and Aitken-Norby would have been nowhere near the team. I mean, you talk about like sliding doors moments or an alternative reality. That's what you could have won. That's what you could have had prize. But his quality. I mean, I noticed when the goal went in, like every half went to Totti and the other half went off to Aitken-Norby, because Totti did well to react quite quickly when the ball come off. I think it was Bassey, wasn't it? And just Aitken-Norby as the game. Like, I'm just in awe of him at the minute. Just one, because his skill is like a child with a player on FC24 who actually knows how to do the skill buttons and stuff and knows how to pass. As he showed the game, knows how to tackle. He's doing everything at the minute. I mean, what was it, 10 minutes from time? He was asked to play right wing or right forward or something, and doing it well, which is like the amazing thing. I mean, yeah, I'm in awe. I mean, if Hugo Breno is putting like little cryptic things on Instagram about why he's not playing, he can just look at Aitken-Norby's performance yesterday and say, fair enough, I've got to just wait my chance now. I've got to just sit back and wait. But at the minute, no one, not even like prime Roberto Carlos, is getting Aitken-Norby out of this team at the minute.
Hugo Bueno is the next George Friend for me. He's just got that many left backs ahead of him that he'll never play for Wolves. Russell Baker's obviously joining us in the comments section tonight, and he's clearly trying to nudge me. He's asked, is Pablo Sarabia now Wolves' most underrated player? I'll come to you first on that, Ed. Pablo Sarabia, probably in the form of his life for Wolves at the moment, still as far as I'm aware, our top earner at the club. Is he underrated, or is he finally justifying his salary?
I think he's finally justifying his salary. He still infuriates me an awful lot sometimes with how he can slow the game down a little bit, but he's finding his niche, isn't he? And he's finding his feet in the Premier League. But he's definitely not underrated. Not our top earner cannot be underrated.
He's brilliant. Everyone knows my opinion. I weighed into him heavy at the start of the season, on the back of last season. I thought the game was... this Premier League sort of intensity was going to be too much for him. But he's so key to the way that we play. I don't think he had an overly great game on Saturday, but I think he still created enough chances to keep him in that top other 14 list that he's in every other week. I can't deny it. He's serving me humble pie, just as similar as Max Kilman keeps serving me humble pie every week, as much as Gary O'Neill serving me humble pie every week. This group of players, led by that coach, are really doing something special at the moment. I'm really enjoying watching Wolves on a week-to-week basis at the moment, which could be so far from where I was 12, 24 months ago under the... well, even longer than that, under the football of the back end of Nuno. Large in his first season was similar to what Gary O'Neill was doing there, was being so effective up until sort of January transfer window. They let Adama go out on loan to Barcelona and never brought anyone in. And then that's the only sort of thing for me now with Wolves. If we can get past Coventry next Saturday, however the season concludes after that, I'll be proud of this team because they've absolutely gone above and beyond anything I could have ever dreamt of this season. And it's all because of Gary. But let's get back to Wolves Fulham for a second. The first half was a bit of a... it was tough to watch. Fulham wrenching the back four. Fulham were cutting us apart regularly during that first half. You look at their shot summary across the 90 minutes compared to what I just shown you on the Wolves list. Let me show you a quick second. Look at that. I think there's like 7 or 8 shots for Wolves compared to like Fulham's. It looks like 200 shots there. But first half, they had 2 big chances, Stu. The one-on-one for Harry Wilson and tossing it in the woodwork. What was your thoughts on the first half? Forget about the injuries that would happened. Just the actual performance and the way that Wolves struggled to sort of have an impact in the first half.
Like what Ed said, why do we do this to ourselves when we know we can't do this? We can't play a back four. And before Gully starts, I know it's not technically a back five or a back three either because St. Nunez got his own special little area. But everyone knows it's a back three most of the time. But to go back to that spot that Spurs fan said about us there, I mean, we were Cesarean fan. They did destroy us. They sliced us open from the first minute. And you look at it, and if it wasn't for Jose Sarr being amazing again, which no criticism of this week, is there, that we would have been dead and buried. And yeah, we got a bit lucky with the woodwork and stuff, but he was out really fast for that one-on-one. And fair play to him.
Harry Wilson shouldn't have missed that chance, but no, because he came out so quickly and made himself big, he didn't leave much of the goal for him to aim at. I still think Harry Wilson should have scored that chance. But like you said, Stu, good goalkeeping. For a goalkeeper who's still, for me, is one of the best pound-for-pound goalkeepers in the Premier League. And you look at that Arsenal goalkeeper last night. How much money is Aaron Ramsdale going to go for in the summer? Pricey. Just roughly, because we are not going to be paying the sort of money for a goalkeeper that Arsenal are going to sell Aaron Ramsdale for in the summer.
The thing with Jose Sarr is that, like with any goalkeeper, right, is any mistake, anything he does, it's just going to be magnified by times 10, isn't it, times 100, because goalkeeper makes a mistake, a goal usually follows, right? So, but over the couple of years he's been here, right, he's generally been a saviour for us, hasn't he? Over the couple of years that he's been here, and you watch the highlights back of the game yesterday, and that chance, that Harry Wilson chance, when the camera pan, when like Wilson's through, Sarr's there. He's already there, like literally, kind of like on the edge of the box, like you say. He's already there. He should be, like you say, he's got to be getting it on target. Therefore, like Sarr's got to be making a save of that. So to miss it is a bit criminal, but he's there. He's like, he's already read it. He's a step ahead, and yeah, I mean, at the minute, you'd rather have Sarr in your goal than Ramsdale. I know I bloody would. Especially, and I did see Ramsdale giving it all that at the end of the game when they won. I thought, fuck, mate, you just bailed out of jail and he's giving it the big in. No. And he's Stokey, isn't he? So, fuck him off.
Yeah. He literally played in that game because their normal keeper was ineligible. That was it. He wasn't given a chance because they felt sorry for him. And he still fucked it up.
I was joking with my Arsenal mate, asking him if like Richard Wright was still their third sub or if Alex Manninger was available, because they're lucky Ray is back available for next game, because if he's going to be their goalkeeper for the rest of the season, just forget about title challenges. I just want to quickly just divert away, because I should have mentioned this right at the top of the show. We have got some sad news tonight. There's been a loss. Aston Villa's title charge died today, and I think we just need to have a moment silent for him, because there was there, guys. There was in the race. They had 4 wheels. And, you know, it's hard to see. I know a lot of Villa people, and, you know, they've worked hard to be in that title race. But, you know, they've...
You got me earlier.
That fifth place is starting to come a bit shaky. Remember, that gets a Champions League spot now. So, you know, I mean, hopefully for them, they make it all the way through the Conference League, because I'd hate for them to have me in their ear if they don't win that Conference League in whatever month it is this season.
What got me early with that, I've got to say, I mentioned pretty quickly, you know, when McGinn did that tackle, got him sent off, before the red come out, all the Villa fans were giving it like the Super John McGinn chant, started up, all singing it. And I've never heard a chant just stop dead in its tracks when the red come out. It just died.
I still think there was a small percentage who was still singing at the top of their hearts and hadn't even seen the red come out. It was a moment. I remember thinking that myself, because I think I commented in our group, didn't I, saying, yep, listen to that Villa discontent with the love eyes emoji, because seeing them get slapped today, it was nice to see. They've lost four out of the last five at home. Wolves upcoming. Hopefully with Matheus Cunha back. You know, we've got a good record against the Villa, and, you know, Tottenham and United and pushing them for that fourth place now. God forbid they end up six, because, you know, there was in a total racing flipping. There was top of the league. If it wasn't for Cameron Archer coming back to haunt them in December or whenever it was. let's touch on some of the comments that have come in. Jonathan Bell, this could easily have been you, Stu. Saul was a steal at that price, even with his occasional moments of madness. In regards to the Harry Wilson chance, Dan Lambs commented, Patricio would have stayed on his line against that shot. Patricio would have been on his line, similar to like Michael Oakes. He would have been that dead on his line. Raymond commented saying, seeing the Fulham bench truly had me thinking we would lose it late, and the opposite happened. I mentioned on my Twitter before the game that I was concerned with the game yesterday because of the amount of players that I thought we had out, on top of Hwang and Cunha already being out. Polina was due to be back. I was surprised that he started on the bench because he's obviously, I think he's their best player. Alex Iwobi's always been a nuisance towards, whether it's been Arsenal, Everton or Fulham. Surprised to see Willian on the bench because he's always a nuisance to us and he's a top quality player. I'm still surprised that he's at Fulham, but he must be earning some good coin to still be at Fulham. But I'm still really just loving life as a Wolves fan at the moment because we're doing so well. But
I think this team...
Going back to the two goals yesterday... Second goal, lovely bit of build-up play by Jairzinho Gomes. I tweeted the Brazil national Twitter page saying that their Casemiro upgrades arrived because, guys, he gets better and better every game, Ed.
Yeah, oh yeah, he's not just the pit bull running around anymore, is he? There's end product. There is passing range, passing ability, and he. His progression under next to Lamina has been incredible. The him, Aitnori and Tati Gomez are the epitome of what Gary O'Neill's coached into these players, because they are all exponentially so much better than where they were this time last year under a more storied manager. And the freedom that he had, it wasn't that little backflick to Nelson Semedo, bless him, who still didn't get his goal in the end, wasn't the only time he kind of burst into the box and got us a chance. Either he's that freedom to move forward that he's added to the game under Gary O'Neill has just been, yeah, I think he's the jewel in the crown of our team. I think he's going to be worth an awful lot of money in a season.
I still haven't seen the angle. Was Semedo's shot going well wide?
Yeah. Yeah, it's 3 or 4 yards wide.
Is it? Because I still think there's a bit of a propaganda, because if you saw the Liverpool-Arsenal game from the other week, Virgil van Dijk scored an own goal against Arsenal the other week from a Trossard deflection, and somehow Virgil van Dijk avoided an own goal. And for me, it looked like Samadar's shot was going in goal from beyond the south bank. But I'll take your word, 3 or 4 yards there. We'll come to that another day. But I still think there's a propaganda, like clubs like Salah, Virgil van Dijk get bonus points when they don't deserve them. I don't care about the criteria FPL come up with. It's a fix.
It's like that goal in the championship a few weeks ago, that Rabona thing, that it was a cross and it had a massive deflection and it went in. And they went back and changed it and gave it to the guy because there was all this old Puskas Award thing. It was off target. But they gave it to him.
Win the Puskas Award off that goal when it's a blatant deflection.
And it's a cross.
Just, yeah. I just saw a comment. I think Dan Lamb... It's sort of spot on, but he's sort of probably undervaluing João Gomes. He's saying he's out on N'Golo Kanté.
I think he's better on the ball than Kanté.
Yeah, I don't think Dan Lamb's far off there, but I think Jairzinho could go on to be a lot better. I think he's got the energy, the intensity. You know, the Pitbull nickname is just so on the money. I've never known a player who can chase a ball back, like his life depends on it, even if it's against flipping Blackpool in the flipping Carabao Cup. He wants that ball back and he ain't going to... He's like the T-1000. He ain't giving up until that ball's back in it. And his legs are like that flipping like knife arm that comes out. The amount of tackles that he throws in, I love him. And I hope he stays for a long time, but there's going to be suitors him coming in for him in the summer. Isn't the pricey? But how much money should Wolves sort of be wanting for a player of that ilk?
Oh, God, we haven't got a great track record of selling players for high amounts, but he's got to break the mould, hasn't he, really? Considering he's young, he's Brazilian, he's awesome. He's got... Do you know what I didn't realise, actually? I didn't realise on his Instagram page, he's got 3 million followers, nearly, right? Like, Cunha doesn't have anywhere near that. Cunha's not even got, like, I think it's about 750,000. So, like... This guy's well followed, João Gomez. He's got like a massive, massive following. And I mean, bloody hell, a Brazil call up is it's a guarantee. It's a cast iron guarantee, a Brazil call up for him. I know Spurs are sniffing around him, but Levy is going to have to like break a habit of a lifetime, and he's going to have to stump up some money for once in his life if he wants to get João Gomez in. But I mean, All intents and purposes, he looks like he loves it here, João Gomez. He's loving life. Everything's going well for him. We see more and more to him as well, like, as each like game goes by. Mm. You know, when he first joined, he was just like, he was a kid who loves to just get stuck in, like you say, hence the Pitbull name. But now he's showing us what he can do on the ball. He's got an eye for goal. You know, as we saw against Spurs away, breaking forward, he can score a goal or two now. Yesterday, we saw just a generally good. He's on the ball with his drag backs, back heels. You saw him and Lamina in the middle. I mean, question, would you rather have Neves and Moutinho or Lamina and Gomez right now? Because we're going to have recency bias, aren't we? We're going to be a bit biased based on what we just saw yesterday, what we saw this season. But at the minute, like those two, it's like hand in glove, isn't it? I mean... You'd love to watch him every week. Lamina just plays good wherever he plays. Stick him up front, stick him left wing. He'll be fine. He'll put in a 7 out of 10 minimum. And then you got João Gomez next to him, who's just like I've never known a player almost like have a hard on for getting the ball back or for making a tackle. I've never known anything like it in my life. He just every little tackle he makes, he's like his fist bumping away. I love it. I absolutely love it.
It's almost like João Gomez's lipstick popping out now. My head's completely gone.
Whatever money that's being bandied around for Neto, I want more as well, Gomez, if we sell him this summer.
Yeah, well, like you mentioned the players that are going to be, you know, this is why I'm starting to really enjoy Wolves now, because we've actually got players who are wanted by other clubs. You know you're doing something right when you're being linked to these other clubs. I'm hoping, from a probably an unwarranted point of view, that João Gomez could be a sort of Ruben Neves type where he stays longer than we ever expected him to, because he likes being around the place. He fits into the way that Gary O'Neill wants to play. I think Gary O'Neill's already improving him as a player, so what more can he do with another two, three seasons under his belt? Someone just made a comment saying... I actually think we keep him one more season, he'd be a £100 million player. With the way that FFP is going now, I'm still kind of reluctant to think that clubs are going to spend massive money on players now. I think the amount of clubs that are being sanctioned with point deductions now, I think that's going to really have an effect on the market going forward. So hopefully we can get good money for any player that leaves Wolves in the summer. But we all want our best players to stay, don't we? But I think the way that this model needs to work with the small squad that we've got, we're probably going to have to sell at least one, maybe two of our players for big money this summer to really replenish the squad in a whole stew.
Well, that's what Super Matt Hobbs said, isn't he? He said we're going to sell one big player per year, at least. If Neto's completely fell apart again and that drops his value down to, what, 40? If you throw his injury record in, which is what I said again and got crucified for.
Shut up. I know. Look, I was one of the crew. I crucified you in the group yesterday, didn't I? When you laid it, the bloke's just done his hamstring again, and you couldn't wait in the WhatsApp group. You couldn't wait, could you?
we should have the little your little comments about me being right all the time, just permanently on the in the brand section of the StreamYard service.
What's the actual line, Stu? I said you more often than not right. You're not always right.
More often than not, that I'll take that. But with João Gomez, how much did Declan Rice go for? And you look, give him another year, and I think that 100 million might be for clubs who can spend 100 million. They're still going to spend 100 million because they don't care, and nothing ever happens to them anyway. So I think it will slow down a little bit, but you've still got lunatics, and you've still got Chelsea, and you've still got teams who will just spunk money up the wall for no reason at all. But if you look at him and the way he's gone in the space of 12 months, it's night and day. So you give him next season as well. It depends how well he gets into the Brazil side as well. If he's starting for them, he ain't going to go and play somewhere else the year after that in a World Cup year and sit on the bench all year. So that might kind of go in our favour as well. So we might get another 2 years out of him. But anything more than that, I think that's a bit fanciful. But he will easily, for me, be our record sale at some whenever he goes, because I know what price you said there. Which one would you rather have? And it's almost like Neto and Neves and Moutinho were more like a Renaissance painting, whereas Mario Junior and João Gomez is more Banksy. But they're both equally excellent in their own right. It just depends what you prefer.
My mindset when we were talking about this a minute ago, we're comparing Neves and Moutinho to these pair. I think Neves and Moutinho and Camembert, and these pair are like mozzarella. You can't have Camembert more than sort of once a week, whereas I think you can have mozzarella as much as you want. I don't know, is that a ludicrous statement?
This is going to go, if this was a usual thing with Rich, this would go into talking about different cheeses and what's suitable or whatever. But
cheese cast. Ponce de Leon. I'm going with that. I'm sure that's the boxer's name is pronounced. If a 50-year-old Casemiro was 70 million, João Gomez is worth, if not the same. I made the comment on Twitter the other day. If Anthony, Mudryk, and Jadon Sancho are all like 70, 80 million pound plus, that's the sort of fear that we should be combating. Because even if Pedro Neto is injured for 25% of the season, he's still doing better numbers than them three. Am I wrong, Ed?
No, they're all useless. Anthony is the most useless footballer. He's the most predictable footballer in the world. Using Pricey's analogy from earlier, someone playing FC24, but he's someone playing FC24 who doesn't know all the buttons. It's like, I'm going to come back. All you need to say is he's going to come inside, and he's not Iron Robin. He's not going to get away with it. You all know he's going to do it. What's he done? He's known for something off the field he probably shouldn't be known for, and doing that stupid roulette flick thing. That's it. That's what. And how much did they pay for him? Jadon Sancho is only good in Germany.
£89 million. I read the other day. I'm sure it was, because I was Ed Allworthy. I was actively trying to find what wingers were going for, like in the last 12 months, because, like I said, I think Neto we should be commanding £80 million. Whether we get anywhere near that after his latest injury mishap is going to hurt us in the market. But like I said, even if he's injured for 25% of the season, he's still doing bigger numbers than them three put together. He's not going to be on a bigger wage as those three have been given at those clubs. So Wolves need to dig in this summer with Pedro Neto. We've got to get the right money for him, because that's going to be the difference between us having a good squad and having a limited squad like we have found this season. Someone mentioned him a few minutes ago. We're nearly like sort of 35 minutes into the show and we haven't even discussed Mario Lemina in depth. Pricey, talk about Mario Lemina's performance yesterday, because for me, he needs drug testing for me, because the amount of running that guy's doing in this club, he's fast becoming one of my favourite ever Wolves players, because pound for pound again, he's outstanding.
Do you know what? If I haven't done this before, I'll do it now. I'll put my hands up. And I said, when we signed him, right, I had little to no expectation of Lemina when we signed him. You know what? I'm probably not alone in thinking that, but very early on, and it's increased ever since, I've just been thinking, you know, has he not been this good in all the previous clubs he's been at, like at Fulham, at Saints, Juve? Because, you know, he just something must have not fitted, or he must not have settled in those previous clubs, because he's come to us and he looks like an absolute world beater. Come in as an established player, he just seems to... He hardly seems to put a foot wrong, does he? And he pops up everywhere. I mean, right now, like I said earlier, he's been asked to play literally, quite literally anywhere. And even when he does, he's like, we're getting solid, dependable performances out of him. I'm in awe of the guy, genuinely, to be honest. I just think we'd be a bit lost without him, because he's an established head amongst, you know, group of younger players that we've got. He seems very, very, very settled in now, especially like with what's gone on recently with his family circumstances and getting his brother in now. He just seems happy as well. He seems settled. He seems happy. And maybe that's showing in his performances. You know, we're getting that extra percentage out of him because of how much he loves it here. He's loving the day-to-day training. You see it on the TikTok videos and the Twitter videos they put out. He's always front and centre of them. I just love him. I genuinely think he's a brilliant guy. He's one of our poster boys, I'd say. If Neves was a poster boy before, this is our poster boy right now for our team. So how much he's loving it, how much he's settled here, how good he's playing consistently week after week. And I just pray to any of the 3,000 gods out there that he's not the next one that falls down injured or something, because he's just like a linchpin. I mean, we've talked before about like João Gomez's and everyone else's, but as the experienced head in the team, he's just a superstar. He is, and I mean, long may it go on.
Yeah, I said on my Twitter yesterday, it is really unfair to single anyone out for praise yesterday, because they were all outstanding to a degree. But Mario Lemina is literally the heartbeat of that team for me at the moment. If we didn't have him, I don't know how we'd have any sort of front foot in the game. Obviously, Neto's now injured. We're still missing that Cunha ball carrying from deep. And just the vibe that Mateus Cunha brings when he's on the pitch. I think the standards that these guys are bringing to this team, the unity is clearly high within the club. The morale's there. Like I said, we've got something growing at this club, and I'm buzzing to see it continue. I messaged Neil Emblem the other day, and Russell Bragg has commented saying Lemina is a 2024 Neil Emblem, centre midfield, centre back, centre forward, left wing, right wing. He literally was all over the place yesterday, Stuart. Just, you know, you tell us what you think about Mario Lemina at the moment.
I mean, I said exactly the same thing. So he started off as a six, and then he was a four, and a 10, and a seven, and he was everywhere. And you look at, I think what Pricey said there about his former clubs, and he didn't have freedom like he has here. He's almost like he's got license to do what he wants. And for a so-called just a defensive midfielder who had a bad attitude, you couldn't be further from the case, could you? I mean, yeah, it's by his own admission, he was a bit of a bell end. And he's came here and he's settled down. And then you only have to look at the video from last week that they put out with him taking like four attempts to score shoot a hoop in the training ground and stuff like that. Just simple things like that, where even he's in with the production crew and all that, and Josh and all them people, and then responding to them on Twitter when they make him look stupid. And the whole thing is just amazing to see. And it's been a long time since we had someone like this, if ever we've had a midfielder like this before, because you don't generally see him, especially ones that are, how old is he now, 30? He's not the start of his career where you'd think this kind of energy had come from. I think the best thing about it is he's not going to leave to go anywhere else, is he? Because of his age. And we'll get 4 years out of him probably, max. That's all that matters. Because he was head and shoulders man of the match for me yesterday. I know on the Wolves Weekly they talked about João Gomes, and we already have already. But to put that performance in yesterday, against all odds, just popping up everywhere, doing a job that's not his own, that he's what was it the other day that he scored more goals this season than the previous five combined or something like that. And he suddenly discovered that he's actually he's probably a better player than he thinks he is, and that everyone else thinks he is as well. And I could almost see him just playing as a 10. Like he's been in that forward, more forward point of the triangle of midfielders when the three of them have played together in the last couple of weeks. And he's thriving there. It doesn't make any sense, but it makes every sense.
He's outstanding. I mean, the guy is an absolute joke because yesterday he played in over 90 minutes in flipping white dad slippers. that was brilliant. I know the kids are all into these like sock boots nowadays and all that, but you know, nice little touching fitting for the date of his dad's passing, RIP dad on the bottom. But the guy's running around against his former club in white dad slippers and still putting in 10 out of 10 performances. Sean Crow in the comments section, no disrespect to one of my favourites of all time, but Lamina has made Neves' departure much easier for me to deal with. We are better in a lot of ways. Again, love Neves, but this is the truth. Ed, just you fawn over Mario Lamina for a second.
So, well, he makes me sometimes watching performances like he put in yesterday. It's like when I first discovered girls as a teenager. That's how serious it is. You're like, oh, what are these feelings that I'm feeling?
Even when he's putting in bad performances, you still would, I know.
Oh yeah, definitely. I'd mouth kiss him right now if he asked. What he does for the team, and I think just one last thing to point out, there was a very nice moment where he just had a good just 10, 15 seconds yesterday when he praised Nathan Fraser for that second goal. He took him aside a little bit just quickly and just said, well done for his role in that goal as well. And that's the kind of leadership and the kind of morale boosting behaviour that, you know, isn't necessarily, he doesn't need to wear the armband to do that. You know, there's this debate whether he should be the captain over Kilman. No, he's happy doing what he's doing. Leave him be. Let him control that midfield. Let him play where he wants in his dad's slippers. And just let him carry on being this. He's already a cult hero, and he's only going to cement that more and more.
Yeah, like I said, I think the captaincy armband is given probably too much emphasis nowadays. I think there has been sort of conversations, as I know, about the leadership group at Wolves, whether it's like Lamina, Sarabia, Craig Dawson, whoever. You need 11 captains on the pitch, and that's the way it feels like with the unity within this club at the moment. I even liked it yesterday. He's such a lovely, shy lad. There was a moment during the game, even Ryan Aitnori was gearing up the South Bank to give us a bit more yesterday. I love Ryan Aitnori.
Talk about how shy he is. Is that the first time he's ever spoken to anyone, ever, on Match of the Day?
He only speaks in French at the training ground, that's it.
I always wonder, what does he sound like? I mean, does he sound like King D? Has he got that in his mouth? But when he comes out, he's as softly spoken as you imagine him to be.
Yeah, I posted, I think either on our Instagram or it might have been my personal one, when Gary O'Neill was doing the fist to the South Bank, and Ryan Aitnori was in the back giving up the smallest little watching his dad do something impressive, and he was just like loving every moment. I love Ryan Aitnori. I mean, I love him. He's probably my favourite player in this Wolves team at the moment. You talk about the players that I'm going to be like possibly going in the summer. Neto's going to go for big money. Joe Gomez will probably go for big money. But Ryan Aitnori, his role dynamic within our team is so key to the way that we play. And that that chant that we put out earlier with the what's the story, Ryan Aitnori. If that we can get that going, honestly, I'll be chuffed for that because he's already got one good chance, but we don't sing it well enough, loud enough. Regularly enough for me. Same with it's great to see Nelson Samado's got a chant now with the he swapped the new camp for the South Bank. He's finally deserving his plaudits. Prices Nelson Samado.
Yeah, big time. I mean, it's long overdue, isn't it? Really, I think Samado is another one who's just like kind of Mr. Consistent, isn't he? Again, it's one of them, like in the early days, people were picking him faults left, right and centre, but it's another one, yet another one, under O'Neill, who's just come on leaps and bounds. I think it might have been in the Adam Bates article on Sky Sports a few weeks ago, when that was with Samado, and he said that O'Neill just, like, he gives us that freedom. Yeah, we have our tactics and their orders and what to do, but ultimately the players have a hell of a lot of responsibility, and someone like Samado, he's just relishing that at the minute. He's 30, but doesn't seem to lose any of his pace. He's still like as fast as he was when he first signed. I would like him to actually get a goal. That would be nice. But what's he on, 80 something? How many games he played for us now? I'm sure it was still sort of kind of they mentioned on the highlights.
Well, about 100 now, surely. He's been here about three seasons, hasn't he?
I can't remember how many they said now. Yeah, he won't be 80 four. Anyway. But I'd like for him to get a goal, just because I think like his just performance is warrant. He had a celebration moment yesterday, didn't he? He just got took away from him about 2 minutes later. But he's great. I mean, Doherty's another one. He's just got to sit and watch and wait. Well, unless he plays up front on Saturday and Doherty gets his chance. But God, I love him. And do you know what? To your point, Dan, as well, like about just the general good feeling like about this team, you know, I think we all can look at this team and just be in awe of how well they are doing just in the face of adversity, of like two players dropping down on a weekly basis, it seems like, at the minute. Barely can put out a forward line at the minute, yet yesterday both fullbacks pop up and get us a goal. It's ridiculous at the minute. I think any other season, if we had this kind of injury crisis, we would be fucked. Let's face it. Let's not mince the words. You know, we would be screwed. But somehow O'Neill just finds a way to shuffle the pack a little bit, and we carry on. Like when Neto went off and Tati come on. Obviously, there were some people. Don't know if it was just by me. There were some people who were saying now's the chance to give like little Lamina a go. Put Noura on, and I guess you think, well, like for like, maybe, but you know, O'Neill's thinking ahead. He shuffles the pack, puts a defender on for Neto, and you know, we go and do what we do. Like Semedo, as we just talked about, and he's still bombing forward. He finds himself in a position to get a shot away to get a goal. Like us all, just generally, I've got that fuzzy feeling like Ed did when he discovered girls, and about this team at the minute, and I don't know, just cloud. Is there a cloud 10? Because I don't think cloud 9 is good enough at the minute for like our feeling.
Yeah, hopefully around 3, 4pm on Saturday, Pricey will be close to that cloud you've just spoken about. We'll be back next Thursday evening to talk about the Wolves Coventry preview. You just mentioned the injuries there. We've got a touch on it. Jean-Ric Nabelgard and Pedro Neto both went off with what Gary O'Neill described as fairly significant injuries. There's a Twitter page called @PhysioScout who, when Pedro Neto first got his hamstring injury against Pedro Neto, they sort of estimated his recovery time and got that bang on. They said Pedro Neto went off with a left hamstring injury, not the same hamstring, which needed an 8-week recovery. Holding the hamstring high is usually associated with a longer recovery time. The recovery time for a grade 2 tear is roughly 4 to 6 weeks. A grade 3 is 8 to 10 weeks. I don't think we're going to be seeing Pedro Neto again this season. A winger of his power and acceleration needs fully functioning hamstrings. And the fact that he's done two hamstrings on different legs in the same season is a massive blow. Not the birthday young Pedro would have wanted yesterday. Going to be a big blow. But even when I start doubting this Wolves team, they still manage to pull something out of the bag. So as a fan base, just keep the enthusiasm, keep sticking behind this team, and hopefully we can do something special this season. Jean-Ric Nabelgard also went off, rumoured to have a posterior cruciate ligament damage injury yesterday. They were testing for ligament damage during the game, which he was down on the pitch for quite a while. He did manage to get to the side of the pitch and do some sort of some physical stretching and a bit of lunging, but you're talking sort of 2 to 12 weeks based on how bad that injury could be. So that's going to be another blow in a forward area that we're really lacking in players, with the loss of Hwangi Chan, who's still going to be out for another 4 to 5 weeks we're looking at the moment. So hopefully they can come back fully fit in the summer, or hopefully play a part in the back end of the season, because like you said, we're running low on numbers, and the players that we've still got here are still putting in the effort, still pulling things out of the bag like they did yesterday. So like, just to reiterate, as a fan base, we've got to stick together with this group of players, especially next Saturday, because it's going to be huge. 12:30 at home to Coventry. Let's talk about the main man himself, because he keeps on doing absolute wonders. We've tried to push the Gary O'Neill, Sally Cinnamon track across our social media the last couple of days. If you're a big Stone Roses fan like myself, this is sort of holy grail stuff. So get a look on our social media, because, like I said, until Gary, I was never happy. I needed so much more. Lopetegui and Neves that left me, but now we're reborn. It's honestly could be absolutely fantastic. This is what the only thing that we're missing now to push us on to compete with those Nuno ears. We need some good chance in the stands, guys. If you want to come up with some suggestions, just email us at podcast@wolvesfancast.com, tweet us, Facebook us. Just get some songs going. We need to get some songs going. That's the thing that keeps the team driving on. The Gary O'Neill Barmy Army against Brighton the other week was really impressive. I know last week at Newcastle, the Nelson Samado chant went on for about 15, 20 minutes. Just keep sticking with the guys. Is there anything, guys, that you want to bring up from yesterday's performance? I'll come to you first, Ed, because I've got a couple of things on some Fulham fans I want to talk about as well. I put you on the spot there. Have a think.
Yeah, no. Nothing really sticks out. I don't know if you want to talk quickly on Santi Bueno.
He put in another performance yesterday. He's pushing Craig Dawson for a starting place. Obviously, Greg Dawson was out yesterday with a groin injury, another player that we've lost to injury. I thought out of the two centre-halves yesterday, I thought Santi was a bit more assured than what Kilman was.
Yeah, he looked assured, just like he did last time he came on. When he came on against Chelsea towards the end, you know, at Christmas time, when he was only given, 15, 20 minutes after Dawson, we all thought Dawson was dead. And then it turned out he just, you know, cut his leg. He looks assured. He looks like he's ready to take over. Maybe this season, maybe next season. But he just looks like he's ready-made to sit in there. And he does, although Dawson has showed passing range that I didn't think he had in recent weeks, he does seem to add to the Kilman passing range, and it leaves, if we play through at the back, it leaves Toti Gomez to do his destroying work. I think he fits quite nicely.
I think there was one moment yesterday, I think I noticed, I think that Muniz got through on goal, and Breno seemed to give Kilman a bit of a instruction saying, you should have been there then. That's what I liked about him, that, you know, he's still probably not got the greatest amount of English in his vocabulary, but like I said, I thought he was really sure. What was your thoughts on Santi Bueno yesterday, Price?
Well, is another one who it's a shame really that he hasn't got more game time than what he has. But I agree with what Ed said. He's going to be, or I assume he's signed to be, the Dawson replacement, and maybe that could have come earlier than what it may have done, but Dawson has, you couldn't drop Dawson, could you? Really? There's no rationale or case there to drop Dawson. I've always thought it's a bit of a I've always thought how Santi Bueno has felt being here, because his old team, obviously, you're like second in La Liga, might finish up Champions League, and he's predominantly sat on their bench all season, but he's had a little bit more game time. And like you say, you'd like to think that Dawson is, what, is he 33, 34 now? There's that natural succession plan for him to take over. And he's a bit of an animal. You know, I think, you know, who is it that, my mate said this as well, someone when someone broke through yesterday and Breno just basically just dragged him down to get the tactical yellow. He's just like, you know, he's got the smarts there as well. He knows what he's doing. Like Dean says there, proper South American centre-back is a bit of an animal.
Dark arts.
Yeah, but it's what you need, isn't it, Ed? But, you know, it's what you need at those periods of time.
We've not had a Wolves team that have done the shithouse in dark arts for many years. I'm loving it. Mm. Yeah, sometimes you have to just make a technical foul just to break up play.
Yeah, sometimes Christoph Berra did it, but that's because he couldn't keep up more than anything.
I say that. I did see a stat the other day. There's only Liverpool that commit more tactical fouls than Wolves in the league.
Who get well? That's not right, is it? Because Man City do it all the time. They just don't get penalised for it.
No, there was a stat like...
I know, I remember it. I saw the stat myself. But that was only for fouls that were given, not fouls that were missed.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Oh, totally agree.
No one's mentioned it. I mean, Ed kind of briefly there. But Toti Gomez, again, just comes off the bench, just slots in and like nothing's happened. the unsung hero of the season, Totti Gomez.
Another pound-for-pound print of this Wolves squad.
That's the problem there. You mentioned that, like, Shea, like, mentioning thing. You could literally mention everyone in this team, couldn't you? That's where we are. That's why we're so, like, high on life at the minute. Like, everyone is just... You could pick out, you could name any player in that starting 11 and or whoever come off the bench, and you could make a case for, like, how awesome each and every single one of them are. And that's, again, that's testament to O'Neill. I keep wanting to say Gary, but how often do we, like, name our managers on first name terms?
Someone, I can't think who it was. Someone messaged me on WhatsApp early saying there was love in the Zenga chant that came back yesterday, but singing Gary to it. Yeah. has it got the same Gary, he's taking us to Europe. It's just, someone said he reminded him of the Only Fools and Horses he's seen.
Yeah,
just,
Gary.
Bringing Gary back.
Some of the results, one result did go for us today. West Ham drawing 2-2 at home to Bournemouth. You look at the league table. I know people think, thought I was being outrageous. I said before the Newcastle game, I thought Man United could still be caught to sixth place. We're only 6 points behind Man United. We've still got some what I'd class as relatively winnable fixtures at Molineux. There's only Arsenal and West Ham in the top half. We've still got to play at Molineux. It's in our hands for me, because you look at us away from home, the way that we set up suits us away from home, the team's got to come out to us. As the season gets towards the end, these last 10 games, teams will have to start coming at us a bit more, because they'll need the points. I don't see why we can't get in a European place. I know everyone wants to put all the eggs in the FA Cup basket, but like Gully mentioned in his drunken ramble on Twitter yesterday, this team does not know what tired means. Unless they physically cannot run, this team is running until their socks are literally burnt off. Ed, is Europe a possibility for you, or is the lack of numbers in the squad going to be the deterrent?
Of course it is. Look where we are now. We have no right to be there. So why can't we dream? Do you know? And the Conference League, well, it could go down all the way down to, is it seventh or eighth this year, depending on the coefficients and all that kind of stuff. Stu, I'm looking at you, mate, because you read all those books.
Yeah, there's ways and means. It'll be eighth, I think, if England get five places, it could go down to eighth, depending on certain things.
Yeah, Man United
I just
are
mentioned
awful.
It, Stu. Sorry, Ed. That we're only 6 points behind Man United. How didn't Everton get a point yesterday at Man United, Stu?
I feel sorry for him. You know, I know everyone takes a piss at me for loving Sean Dyche all the time, but he's there. You look at him; they actually played well for a change.
Don't call him Sean Dyche. Call him your bedroom now. You call him King D.
King D. Yeah,
please.
I already bought that once already today. But the amount of chances they had, and the fact that he gets that group of shitholes, and I mean, look at that Everton squad. It's terrible. It's awful, and it rightly is where it is. But they actually play with some really good stuff sometimes. But over and over again, they screw themselves over. I mean, they've got that lump up front that's worse than anything we've ever had in Beto. And what is the point of him?
You've obviously forgot about Cotrone.
I'd rather have Cotrone over Beto.
That's or Grant Holt.
Yeah.
Grant Holt, Cedric Rousseau.
I'd rather
Rousseau.
Have Doherty playing a hybrid number 9 and then see Cotrone in a Wolves shirt again. Social media can post some, like, volley that he scores in some Serie B flipping Carabao Cup match all your bloody like.
He had a good chat, though.
He didn't want to join the club, and we had our pants down by AC Milan, just like AC Milan had Newcastle's pants down with Sandro Tonali, because they knew what he was up to and they got him out the door as quick as they could. And that's my rant on Patrick Cotrone. I still think we can get European places. We've got to play West Ham at home. We've got a good record against West Ham at home over the years. We haven't got to play Brighton against, like someone mentioned earlier, Samado has got to come up against Matoma this season. It's in our hands. Newcastle got Chelsea tomorrow night. Hopefully, I mean, you'd want probably a draw or maybe even a Chelsea win. I'm not sure about you guys' thoughts on that. But, you know, you look at the fixtures that we got coming up, Villa away. We've got a good record against Villa, Irish Joe. I know, like, the hoodoo's got to come to an end at some point. But I still fancy us to get a result at Villa. Lost 4 out of the last 5 at home. I think they've got their eyes on the Europa Conference League a little bit as well. But I think they'll have Ajax maybe next they've got next Thursday, isn't it, Ajax?
But
it's going to be a nice running towards the end of the season. Just keep the enthusiasm up, Wolves fans.
Villa look, for the whole time Emery's been there, is outrageous. Some of the stuff that's gone on and they've got away with over and over again, and now it's coming back to bite them on the arse. Long may it continue. Just for another month at least. But I think the only thing that will stop us is literally bodies. Yeah. If we're down to the under-21s, then it might be a bit of a stretch.
That's the only thing that keeps me like the lid on it slightly. It's just literally the like unprecedented forward line injury crisis that we've got at the minute. That's the only thing that will hamper us. We'll be fine. I'm saying it now, but we'll be fine for Coventry on Saturday with the bodies that we have. But when we're coming up, you know, when we're back in the coming up against Premier League teams again, I just tempering it just one notch back, just on that, you know, I'm still forever the silly optimist, but it's just one notch back, because how can you still be full force 100% optimism when you've got 485 forward line out? I'm hoping that like Cunha has like a bigger comeback since Lazarus, when he's like maybe at least on the bench for Saturday, but that's I don't know if that's a stretch or not, but that's what I'm thinking too.
The pessimism that I had ingrained before the West Brom FA Cup game, just because we had Huang missing, was high. Never mind the amount of players that we got missing there. Go on, Ed.
Duck up front for against Coventry will be fine. Keep Cooney fresh. Let's get him back to playing the league. We should get past Coventry. We've got enough.
The comments that came out the other day about Gary O'Neill saying that Cunha won't allow him to rule Cunha out of the Coventry game, and that Gary O'Neill doesn't want to rule him out himself. There were comments yesterday that said Mateus Cunha is back to doing sprints in training, which sounds positive. But like you've just said, have we got the amount of quality to get past Coventry next Saturday with the players that we've got? I believe so. I think we can beat anyone at the moment. Like I said, this group of players, they're just pulling out rabbits out there every week, in my opinion.
All you've got to do is just ask the medical staff to double check those scans on Cunha this week. If you're even thinking about playing him, just double check those scans and make sure they really are okay.
Yeah, there is a lot of people saying let's be patient with Cunha. Cunha will be back, according to Gary. Gary said he won't let him. I mean, how amazing would it be if somehow Noah Lamina scores like a goal in the FA Cup? That's a story in our phase, if that somehow happened. I did like seeing that Leon Chuame was on the bench yesterday. If you've seen any of the academy games this season, he's a nice striker that we've got on our books. Not saying he's any better than what Nathan Fraser is, but I think his frame and his eye for goal could be a player that we could have a good player on our books in the future. The only one thing I want to ask before we call it a day is Nathan Fraser has to start next Saturday, Stu.
Yeah. It's made for him. And the fact that he was going to be loaned out to League One, I think that was a bit too low for him, really. And from what we've seen so far, I think a Championship loan to somewhere like Millwall or somewhere would have been ideal for him. He's up against Championship opposition. They're chasing the final playoff place by the looks of things. If we can't beat Coventry, even with the players that we've got, then we don't deserve anything. It seems set up for Nathan Fraser. What he's done in the Cup before this season, it's like a fairy tale waiting to happen for me.
Yeah, we're not trying to be derogatory to Coventry in any form or manner. I understand that. But like, you've still got to be professional at the end of the day. And that's the one thing that I won't ever sort of consider with this group of players. I think their mentality, there's no egos within this squad. I think for them, it's probably as big as the Coventry players desire to get to Wembley for this group of players. I think Tommy Doyle may have played there for Sheffield United in the Cup last season, maybe. Obviously, Matt Doherty's been there. Max Kilman wasn't in the starting lineup when we got to the semi-final against Watford, was he? He may have been on the bench that day. I mean, is there any other players? Mateus Cunha seems to be like he needs to get this team to Wembley. That's the vibe I'm getting from Mateus Cunha, the way he was roaring the team on in those last minutes against Brighton in the Cup the other week. It's massive for this group of players. I think it's massive for Gary. He said earlier on in the competition that they wanted to go as far as they could with this team. The fact that Jose Soares started every game in the FA Cup this season shows that there was a desire to get as far as the cup because it could have been so easy to play Dan Bentley, who hasn't really done much wrong when he's coming. I know he's had a couple of blips and stuff. I still think his performance at home to Burnley this season was a good... He probably won us that game that night, Dan Bentley did, the saves that he made from Jay Rodriguez. So hopefully we'll have a good win next Saturday, and then we'll all start after looking into train tickets and whatnot, hotels for Wembley, and then hopefully we can get there again in about another month or so. It's some exciting weeks to come. Got 10 league games left, an FA Cup quarter final. If someone would have told you at the start of the season, you would have said that someone had been spiking your breakfast. So just enjoy it. The only thing I want to touch on before we do leave is I saw some comments on Twitter for some Fulham fans who I really wanted to bring to the attention of a lot of people. There was at JCFLHAM who said, by the way, no class shown from Wolves fans booing Adama Traore today tells you everything about what kind of fan base they are. Heard a few boos. I felt it was more mind games than trying to be disrespectful, Stu. Was you one of the booers, Stu?
No, and I said that in when I did the poll thing, which retweeted that I was never going to boo him. For me, he was a pain in the arse more than anything else. And yeah, he didn't sign three attempts to get him, give him a new contract. He left, then came back again when no one wanted him.
And he scored less than Jody Craddock.
Yeah, his goal scoring and his assist record was terrible. His final ball 90% of the time was shit. But like everyone said, you're never ever going to forget him. And it was until you realise that nothing was hardly ever going to come for it ever. So for 2.5 years where you think, okay, this is something special every time he's on the ball. And he did get you excited. I was never going to boo him. And I thought when he got the ball the first time, it wasn't just a few. It was a significant amount of people booing him, especially in the Steve Bull upper around me. But then everyone just ignored him. And look what happens. He actually gets a shot on target against us, which Tal did well to save.
It was a classic Maisie Adama run, wasn't it? It was a really good save that Jose saw pulled out. But then I think he might have been like 5 or 10 minutes later, he nearly found the North Bank upper tier, didn't he, with one volley on the edge of the box. Yeah. That was the Adama that we loved, saw and you know, frustrated at regularly during his time at Wolves. But special player. I appreciate his time at Wolves. I would have liked to have seen what he would have done in this team, because we get like probably 4 or 5 more bodies in the box than ever he was used to crossing into. It was either flipping Raul or Dendonker who was crossing into 9 times out of 10. So I appreciated his time there. And the other comment from another Fulham fan at Sunny_FFC2. Ooh, look at us. We're Wolverhampton and the refs are against us. Oh, they fuck. You live in poverty, you inbred C's. Some people just really love to embarrass themselves on social media. I felt like, you know, if that's the sort of mentality, talking about people living in poverty over a game of football, you need to look yourself in the mirror and then slap yourself.
I did have proof from those posh Fulham fans there when they're probably just
$1.5 million season ticket was, I think it's £3,100 next season, Fulham's most expensive season ticket. If they've got that much money to spend £3,100 on a season ticket to watch a bottom half team, good luck to them, because we've got flipping England internationals and illustrious managers of statues outside of our ground, not flipping. I know Michael Jackson ain't there anymore, but Fulham are a poxy club. They've never been a good club. They used to have flipping Rodney Marsh play for him. I think George Best maybe had a spell for him. Apart from literally being known for a Michael Jackson statue, you fucking shit. You're a poxy club and you're lucky to be even in the Premier League, because Brentford are a bigger club than Fulham in the Premier League. You're both jokes.
One thing on Adama, actually, he was, as soon as full-time whistle went, he couldn't get off the pitch quick enough, Adama. I was watching him on the way out, because where we sit, we're not far, we're literally next to the tunnel, and he was straight off. We didn't want to... Like, people were stopping him to like try and get like a handshake or a fist bump with him. He just didn't want to know. He was straight off, straight down the tunnel. He had a face like thunder, whether it's not because they lost or whatever, but he just didn't want to know. He was straight off. And then next thing after that, was bearing in mind we just won, big game. I had, on my ex on the way out, I had this Wolves dad arguing with Jose Sarr over he was promised his lad a shirt or not. I thought, what a way for Jose Sarr to end the match. Just massive win, 3 points. He's got a Wolves dar on his face. But, yeah, Fulham, I mean, do any of us really give a shit about what they say on Twitter? Because
I don't think they do.
I did, because I put the screenshots up.
I mean, we play Fulham every week if we couldn't money you. They've not won here since, I think,
1985.
Yeah, I mean, bloody hell, even when we were like shit under, like, in our Premier League years under McCarthy, we still beat them at home without fail. So, we only go to Fulham anyway for a nice little day out by the Thames. We don't give a shit about any of them anyway.
Well, Ponte de Leon said, what did their other six fans have to say? Like you said, for an established Premier League club with all the money in the world and, like, you know, the most eloquent fan base, you can only sell that amount of tickets in a Premier League game on the format they've had recently. Like I said, just a poxy club. And, yeah, I'm going to sort of call this show to an end on the back of that, because Fulham are fucking shit and we got the 3 points. Wolves are in the race for Europe. We're in an FA Cup quarterfinal. And, yeah, thanks for joining us on the Wolves Fancast. You can find us at Wolves Fancast across all social media. Please press the like button and subscribe and share on your way out. We'll be back on Thursday to preview the Wolves Coventry FA Cup quarterfinal. Hope you'll join us again then. I'm going to do a Stu and go with the rich exit format. It's a goodbye from Stu.
Goodbye, everyone.
It's a goodbye from Pricey.
Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye from Ed.
Goodbye, everyone.
And it's goodbye from me. See you later.